Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant this week. We're going to hear Paul live and in action on a couple of shows here for the next couple of weeks. What are we going to be hearing today, Paul?
Well, I am doing a Faith and Finances, Irresistible Generosity. It's coming up here on Saturday, July 16th at my church, Venture Church in Mill Creek. And it really is walking individuals through five primary steps of how to utilize their faith. Now, we're going to use finances as a scriptural example. And that's because all of us have to use finances. But it's going to be walking us through a lot of different scripture and a lot of biblical examples. How do we utilize our faith and trust in God's promises for our lives?
Okay, let's hear a little bit of what that seminar sounds like.
We want to look at the truth, the foundation of what God has given us, and that comes from the Word of God first. So Jesus said that if you abide in my word, that you're my disciple. Okay, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Does anyone want to be set free today? And I don't even know what you need to be set free from, but I've been walking with Christ for over 30 years, and I promise you, I still need to be set free. There are areas of my life that I still need for him to continue to do work, because if that wasn't true, then I would be Jesus and I'd be God, and that just would not be a good combination in front of you. So therefore, there's always stuff that I have to work on, and I need to continually be set free from something, from a mindset, from a wrong thought process. So we need to be continually set free. And faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word, right? And so let me tell you a little bit about our story. And so I worked for UPS for 12 years. And as you can see, I'm an extremely muscular guy. I'm not. And that broke down my body pretty darn good. Specifically, I worked over in Seattle up on Capitol Hill. Tons of apartments, businesses. I worked, so it was a combination of both business and apartments. And God just did not design me to throw packages around all day. So I walked out of UPS after 12 years and two arm casts, two major back pulls, thinking, nope, this is not going to work. And so my wife and I opened up a cleaning business. We'd go into people's homes and we'd clean homes. So I have cleaned more toilets than most of you. Most, that's why I said, I understand. I choose my words very carefully. So we cleaned homes, and in the evenings we would go to businesses. Like, we had a real estate office, we had architects, a dentist office, and we'd clean in the evenings. Matter of fact, our girls, a little bit older than that, we'd put them in pajamas, we'd take them in the evening and plunk them in front of a TV so that we could clean, and they know, they remember being in front of the VCR at Windermere Real Estate as we cleaned. Simultaneously, I was flipping homes, and so I'd be remodeling homes, and I did everything in the home. Between a growing business and also flipping homes, I all of a sudden had a lot of contracts in front of me. And I was the weird one. I always read all the contracts. And I see some approval nods. Thank you so much. I love you too. So I would read everything, and I would stop halfway through a contract and go, well, that's the wrong word. Well, that no, well, why did they state it like that? Do you know that I could use that word like this? And I thought, you know, that's a really weird way to think, Paul. So I decided that I'd go to Edmonds Community College, which is where my law office is near, and I would take a basic Law 100 class, because I remember back in high school, I thought, this law stuff and constitutions. And so I took a basic Law 100 class, and I got about two classes into that thing, and I went home to my wife, and I said, I think we might be in trouble. Did you ever imagine being married to an attorney? No. So at the age of 36, I only had an AA at the time. I went back to school. And I finished my bachelor's degree, and at the age of 38, I went to law school. I had been married for 13 years, had 7 and 8-year-old daughters. We moved back to Michigan, and we lived in Michigan for 6 years. If you think your winters are bad, nah. Then after law school, I also got a master's in taxation, so it's kind of a crazy thing. It's not a master's of my bachelor's. It's actually a master's of my doctorate. So I've got really cool things on my wall that says I'm smart. during all this time, we loved Jesus. And during this time, we grew up, actually, we spent a lot of time in what most people would call a faith church. Okay? Kind of like one of those crazy Assembly of God faith churches. So we'd been around the Word. We'd been listening to God's Word, and we were encouraged by it, and we saw things in the Word of God that we should be obtaining, but yet. Anyone in here see a promise of God that you should be grasping onto, but yet? Okay, well, that's going to be a lot of our story here today, if that's okay. And so we walked this journey, and one of the things I realized is that, there's two times that Israel had to cross an open portion where God moved a sea and let them cross. The first one we all know, which is the Red Sea, right? And that Red Sea experience is the Red Sea parted, and a million people walked across the dang thing, and it's symbolic of that we left a life of bondage and captivity, and we moved into what God said he would promise us. But yet there's a problem with that story, which is then they ended up in a land that was dry and desertly, and they walked around a dang mountain for 40 stinking years. You ever feel like you're walking in a dry, desolate land around the same mountain? I've spent most of my Christian life feeling that. So I don't know if that's relatable to anybody. But then there's a second experience. And that's where I want to get us to today. There's a second experience of when we were supposed to cross a body of water. Do you guys remember it? Do you know it? Anybody? How about the Jordan? See, the difference between the Red Sea and the Jordan River of crossing, they were both the same thing. They both opened up. The entire group of Israel moved, is that they moved from this dry land. So they know salvation, and yet they're walking around this deserty place in this earthly system around the same old scheme, and yet God has been calling them for generations to move into the promised land. But they had to cross another river. And when they crossed that next river, then one of the very first things that the word says is that they were able to reach down and eat of the fruit. So they left what was just necessity, manna, of God providing just the bare necessities. There were no Mercedeses. They didn't have a lush life. They just got manna. And then when they really complained, they got a couple quail. But you really had to complain, okay? And yet, that's not where God designed nor wanted them to live, correct? Man, my life felt like I was living there. I was born again. I was getting good word. I thought I was understanding it. And yet, it was still in a dry land. Knowing that there's a promised land for me where all the fruit, where all the honey, ooh, I like honey, where all of it is, and the very first thing that they do is they walk over and they pick their own fruit instead of the manna. Could you imagine what that tasted like? I bet you that was one of the sweetest experiences that Israel ever had until Jesus came on the earth, but then they missed that. That's a whole different story. But here's the problem. The next thing that they are required to do, the very next thing, the very first thing after they get to eat a little bit and gain their strength, is that they are faced with the battle of a lifetime. See, this is the problem. We love to talk about Jesus and all his promises. We want God to do everything for us. And I'm here to tell you some really bad news. It doesn't work like that. You have been empowered. You have been given the crown of authority. It is our job to enter into battle and to take what God shows us to take. The walls of Jericho, he participated with them, but if they never moved into battle, they would have never experienced the fullness of the promised land. They would have just probably gone backwards again. And this is part of our mentality set up, is that God is going to do everything. Now, he did it 2,000 years ago with his son on a cross. And when he said, "It is finished," he meant it is finished. Everything that we have need of is given at our disposal to win the victory and to taste of the goodness of the fruit of God. But we got to cross that next river. And we got to have a passion to get out of wandering around the dry, deserty land. Kind of make sense? Remember, really, the Old Testament is phenomenally symbolic of our Christian lives, is it not? That's why so many of the stories are given at for us to review and look at. So, what's my hope today? My hope is that we will have our eyes of understanding opened up. See, understanding is just the starting point. Understanding moves to wisdom, and then wisdom moves to revelation in God's kingdom. So if we can have some understanding, it's going to be a fabulous day. But what if we get some wisdom out of today too? Ooh, that would even be better. And then what if one or two of you can choose. You guys can draw straws if you want. But what if a couple of you could actually walk away with some new revelation that would change your life? That's actually been my prayer for you all today. It's been my prayer for myself, because as I teach, this hits me first, right? So it makes me reflect on my life. Am I actually walking this? Well, not altogether. I have revelation that I can't still walk in yet. Remember, that's the part of Paul that has to continually be worked out. I know, it's kind of a bummer to have somebody tell you the truth about themselves. So you'll get used to it. It'll be okay. When I was in Indonesia a little over 2 years ago, I go there regularly, talk to business owners on how to use God's principles to run their business. God gave me 5 steps to Christian maturity, and that's really what we're going to go through today. And we're going to tuck it in with finances, so don't worry, you are not going to be disappointed, but we're not going to build budgets. So if you expected to get a budget out of today, sorry, nope, wrong guy. I'm not going to tell you how to invest in cryptocurrency. Just don't do it. But we are going to go through these 5 steps because faith is paramount so that we can actually elicit God's promises. And we're going to use finances as a part of that promise story, okay? So number one, the outline, I think, where are we? About page 3 and 4, right? So here's the outline. You're radically loved. That love has created a rescue plan. Step number 5 is that our authority is fully established. 3. And then number 4 is God's promises are absolute. And then number 5 is faith. In other words, what do you need? So let's get into it. What I'm hoping to do is to break down a couple of sessions. We'll give you breaks in between. We'll come back. We'll do another section, a break, another section, and then we'll have lunch. So lunch is going to be brought in, right? What's for lunch, by the way? Jimmy John's. Okay, that could be more exciting than me. So it gives you something to look forward and stay for. So this is good. So if it's not for me, then stay for the sandwich. And then we're going to, after that, we'll have one last closing session after lunch. And that'll be our day. We'll all give each other high fives, hugs, and we'll cry with each other. It'll be fantastic.
You're listening to a session that I did on faith and finances, irresistible generosity. And here's a commercial to talk more about that. Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. I will be presenting a half-day session on faith and finances, irresistible generosity. In this session, I will walk us through what it looks like to apply our faith over our finances in a biblical manner so that we can accomplish kingdom purposes. We all deal with finances in one way or another, so let's find out how this journey of faith applies to our money. Faith and Finances will be presented on Saturday, July 16th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., graciously hosted by Venture Church in Mill Creek. There's no cost to attend, so join me on Saturday, July 16th for Faith and Finances Irresistible Generosity. You can find more information at legacyandfaith.com and sign up for this Faith and Finances opportunity.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswordtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswordtelling.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And now let's return to session one of Faith and Finances, Irresistible Generosity.
Well, let's get into it, shall we? We got, just in this first session, I'm going to cover the first two bullet points because everybody knows that God loves them and everybody knows that they're rescued, correct? Yeah, wrong. And I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about us. Here's the difficult part of skipping over these first two steps as you want to start thinking about looking at a promise of God and saying, Father, I need you to move in my area in this, is that if you don't have these two first things, that you are radically loved and that there is a grace that has covered you, if you have those two things wrong, you will misinterpret all of God's scripture and you'll be hopelessly lost. You will enter into what we call religiosity. How does religion get formed? They forget that they're radically loved. And that everything God has ever done is an act of love. Everything that he's ever done. And it's not because God acts in love, it's because he is love. This was one of the greatest revelations of my life that God just gave me with. I'm so grateful. Is that anything that God does it stems out of who he is. And so you are radically loved. And it is because your heavenly Father is love, and he can do no different, because if he had to do anything other than love, it would go against who he is. Everything would crumble. Literally, everything is held together by his very word, and if he contradicted himself at any point in time, everything, his word, would collapse and us with it. God is love, and therefore you are radically loved. I mean, the type of love that we all long for, the type of love that just makes us blush, the type of love that every single one of us in the depths of our heart really want. That's how you're loved. It amazes me. I told you I've been walking with Christ for 30 plus years. I've been married for 30 years. So that means I've been walking with Christ for a good 35. And it amazes me. I have a faithful wife. I have a God that radically loves me. And there's still something within Paul Grant that longs to be loved. How is that even possible? Remember, I told you, I'm going to kind of give you some stuff that is deeper than maybe what we liked, because I need you to be uncomfortable with this thought process too. And every single person, no matter who they are, that is their sole desire. Every person that you've ever met in your life, they have two major needs: to be loved and to be accepted. And everything we do in our life is an action to gain that love and to gain that acceptance. Everything. I still long to be loved and accepted. That is the deepest core issue of every single one of us in this room. And every one of my actions, is to demonstrate and to receive that love and acceptance. And yet, I know here in my brain that I'm radically loved. As a matter of fact, I'm supposed to teach it to you. And yet, there are so many areas of my life where I just am an idiot. And I act out on something and I go, well, that didn't demonstrate that I'm loved. That wasn't cool. That was rather stupid. And it all stems back. Everything that we do, anytime I have a disagreement, I won't say a fight, yes, we're in church. If I have a disagreement with my wife, I guarantee you one of us is responding out of a lack of love or acceptance, period, end of story. And so I'm supposed to love her more than anybody else, and yet I blow that. That's a bummer. And everything that we do, every dance that we've ever done in our life, and every dance we ever will do, is so that we can have that ping in our life that says you're loved. You're accepted. And my encouragement today is to look at what the love that God has. In Jeremiah, he says that, yes, I have loved you. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to what he says about you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Does that sound like an angry God to you? Let me take an example real quick, because I'm already running out of time. Is that we look at Adam and Eve being chased out of the garden, right? And almost my entire life, I've interpreted that as God was ticked. Have you ever seen the picture? Right? Do you know that that was the lovingest, kindest, merciful thing that God could have ever done, was to rescue Adam and Eve out of what they just did and get them out of the garden so that they weren't perpetually there, so that he could set up the entire rescue plan that he had already conceived and drawn on the board? But yet we misunderstand out of religiosity that God was ticked. See, if we don't understand that we are radically loved, I mean beyond our wildest dreamed loved, we will misunderstand scripture every time, and we will see an angry and unjust God. A God that we've got to perform for instead of just one that says, let me come under you and let me just experience the gentleness and the kindness and the goodness that you are to me. See, you are radically loved, and we got to get our love walk right, because it is absolutely the foundation of everything else in our Christian life. As soon as we misunderstand love, we've misunderstood everything else thereafter. And we will be caught in this circle of living in this earth looking for how we get loved and accepted by outside sources instead of God's source. Listen to what God does. He rejoices over you with gladness, and he will quiet you with his love. Does anyone need peace today? Man, we've been in a weird world for 2 years, and if you think Idaho's been weird, come over to Western Washington. Jeez, oh, Pete. I mean, we just got mass nonsense lifted. I went into the bank, and there were about 15 to 20 people in that place. I was one of two people without a mask. That was last week. It's like, we're falling on our heads, stupid. And so do we need to be quieted in our souls, and that comes from love? See, when you know that you're absolutely loved, you're at peace. And so we need to listen to Zephaniah. He will rejoice over you. Do you know your God rejoices over you? He sings a song. Look, he will rejoice over you with singing. When's the last time that you've loved somebody so much that you started to sing over them? Well, about that. Yep, exactly. But then at some age, you stop it, because then they start talking back to you. So enjoy the singing while you can. But when's the last time that you truly loved somebody so much that you sang over them? It should not be a country song. That's all I'm saying. Okay. I probably just, I'm surprised some of you didn't get up and leave. Okay. Let them go. And we know 1 Corinthians, right? It's, I mean, you look at this and you think, God, yes, that's right, I did. I did say be interactive. God is long and kind with me. So let's just look at this really quick. And let's say that this is what God is. God is is kind. God doesn't envy over me. God is not parading himself around. See, you know, we worship God and we think that he needs it. No, he actually is rejoicing over us and trying to give it right back. For all the times that we come and lift our hands and worship him and try to adore him, he's going, this is cute. Thank you so much. I adore you. That's what worship is really meant to be. It's meant to connect us with love so that we know and that we are secure in love. God rejoices in truth. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And what response did he give? That God so loved the world that he gave. Do you know God is still giving? As a matter of fact, that is his calling card, that he gives, constantly gives. He didn't stop at his son. He sent his son so that he could give all of himself to you. That's a pretty awesome fact. So you are radically loved today.
And again, listening to a very special seminar that Paul gave recently, and he's going to have one of those here coming up soon in our area as well.
Yeah, and it really is about that theme that I just ended with, which is you are radically loved. And in order for us to understand how to utilize our faith and how to watch God work through our lives to save a dying world, we need to have that as our foundation, that we need to know and be fully secure that we are radically loved. Well, I am giving another Faith and Finances Irresistible Generosity. It's coming up on Saturday, July 16th. It starts at 9 a.m., goes to 2, and you can register at my website, legacyandfaith.com. So there's a registration that is required, please. So head over to legacyandfaith.com, register for this upcoming session on July 16th, Faith and Finances, Irresistible Generosity. Would love to see you there.
Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.